Now, a new EU law which would see 20% of land and sea returned to nature has been thrown into doubt after politicians from the European People's Party walked away from negotiations last week in the European Parliament. The EPP is the largest grouping in the Parliament and includes the five Fine Gael MEPs. Their party leader, the Taoiseach, Leo Varadkar, said the EU nature restoration law goes too far. We'll talk to Fine Gael MEP Sean Kelly in a moment, as well as to Green Party MEP Grace O'Sullivan. But first, I've been speaking with John Gibbons, an environmental journalist, who's been telling me how the EU's nature restoration law came about.
Well, I think, first of all, we know that nature is in a very poor condition right across the European Union and here in Ireland. And we know this from a report from the European Environmental Agency, which was published last year, and it found that only 14% of habitats monitored across the European Union are in what is called a good ecological condition. And these are habitats of specific interest. So that tells us essentially that 86% of our natural habitats right across the Union, including here in Ireland, are in a poor condition. This is the context within which this nature restoration law has arisen. It has been developed through the European Commission. It was first published in June of last year. And the idea with that is to give all the interested parties plenty of time to examine it, to kick it around and so on. And some of the talk recently is that this has been sprung on us. It hasn't. It's nearly a year since it's been published. So that's the context. In terms of what it sets out to achieve, I guess the key thing really is to reverse nature decline. We've had previous laws that looked at nature protection, but they're not actually adequate.
Yes, so it's going to return 20% of land and sea back to nature, but return it from where? I mean, is this agricultural land which will be taken back into nature?
Well, that depends on where it is across the Union. But let's start with Ireland. We know, for example, and Minister McConnellogh has made it clear that we can meet our quota of if you like, land returned to nature, rewet and so on, just through state lands. And we can do that probably to 2030 and possibly to 2040. So that means no direct impact on agricultural lands. But ultimately, it will require some rewetting of agricultural drained peatlands over time.
And this concept of rewetting, that is basically saturating bogland that had been drained off for use as agricultural land. What does rewetting actually do for the land then, if you rewet it, if you resaturate it?
Well, the first thing to say, of course, is when you drain off peaty soils or indeed peatlands, the first thing that happens is you get a huge release of CO2, of carbon dioxide. The second thing that happens is you get a collapse in biodiversity in these areas. And these wetlands and peatlands are among the most nature-diverse areas in Ireland and across the world. They're intensely valuable as biodiversity havens. So when you drain them off, you lose that. You also create some other consequences. For example, drained boglands in Ireland lead to increased flooding through our river systems, which in turn can impact farmers further downstream, and they can also, of course, end up flooding homes, villages and towns. So draining boglands has been seen as a quick win, particularly for peat cutting.
But so rewetting is the most controversial, most talked about aspect of this new law. There are other aspects, though. Rewilding land, making it more habitable for insects, for pollinators, for animals.
That's right. I mean, there's a range of issues. For example, deforestation has been a huge issue across the European Union and again here in Ireland. What we need to do is to reforest, but with native forests that are biodiversity rich. What we have in Ireland instead is industrial timber rather than native forests. That's one aspect of it. Maybe further into Europe, reversing desertification, particularly in southern Europe, is a huge challenge. Water pollution right across the European Union and again here in Ireland, all the indicators on water pollution are going in the wrong direction. So this aims to reverse that with a restoration law. We also, as we've discussed, we're looking at rewetting peatlands. This has a double benefit. One is for biodiversity, the other, of course, is for climate, because healthy peatlands are an enormous carbon sink. So they will help Ireland to make their targets. Now, on top of that, we also have moves to increase and improve biodiversity within our urban areas where most people live, so to increase urban green spaces. One of the key advantages of this, particularly in hotter European cities, is a sharp reduction in the temperature at street level, which reduces stress and reduces illness among people. So they're just some of the benefits for people and for nature.
So if this new law, if it's all about improving water quality, improving the environment for pollinators, which is good for farming, good for crops, that's all good stuff. Why is there so much opposition to it?
Well, that's an intriguing question. As you said in your intro, the EPP have led the charge against this. And one of the EPP's members at EU level is, of course, EU Commissioner Mairead McGuinness. So she's somebody, again, as a former agricultural journalist, who'd be very close to the ground on this, and I think who many Irish farmers would trust. And what she said about it is, she said, and I quote, "This law will help rather than harm farmers." She said, "Without the action set out in the nature restoration proposals and the sustainable use of pesticides," which means, of course, less use of pesticides, "farmers' livelihoods and food security will be put at risk." Mm. That was her observation.
But we have heard then, though, the Taoiseach say almost the opposite. He's suggesting that this law goes too far and that it could hamper food security for poorer countries into the future. Is there a reality here that if you return land to nature, you have to take some of it back from farmers, which means that there's less land available for food production?
Yeah, I think the Taoiseach has this exactly backwards. The World Wildlife Fund last month published a study, and what it found is that the biggest threat to food security within the European Union is unsustainable food production systems as they currently exist. We have this notion being pushed that if we intensify agriculture, we will get more yield out of it. You can't intensify agriculture in a decaying ecosystems. This is the simple fact of life, that without healthy, functioning, intact ecosystems, for example, without pollinator services that are provided, the so-called ecosystem services, without these services, agriculture and food production in Europe will crumble. And some projections are suggesting that we could be looking at a 30% decline in food productivity in the European Union by 2050. Now, the purpose of this legislation, if it passes, is to reverse that and to actually provide more food security. Mm.
This law was discussed at European Parliament level during the week, as we know, and as we've mentioned, the EPP, of which Fine Gael is a member, walked away from the negotiations on this legislation. Can the law still pass without the EPP's support? They are the largest grouping in the European Parliament.
I think it's very difficult, and the fact that they actually walked away indicates that they have no intention of seriously engaging with this. This isn't, they've said, and as you quoted the Taoiseach saying that it goes too far. Well, the question has been put to them, well, what are your proposals? What are your counter proposals? And at the Agriculture Committee, for example, they simply walked away. So their intention, it appears here, is to sabotage nature protection laws. And this is really an extraordinary position, and there's no scientific justification. And for example, for the Taoiseach to say that he believes this goes too far, what's set out in the EU nature restoration law is less, it involves less action than Ireland has already signed up to under its own Climate Change Act. So is essentially Leo Varadkar saying that he now disavows his own Climate Act? Because if so, the public should know that.
That was environmental journalist John Gibbon speaking to me earlier. Well, we're joined on the line now by two MEPs who will have to vote on this law in the European Parliament. Sean Kelly is the leader of the Fine Gael group in the Parliament, and Grace O'Sullivan is a Green Party MEP. Good afternoon to you both. Sean Kelly, I'll start with you first. You heard John Gibbons there saying that it is your intention, or the intention of the group of which you're a member in the Parliament, to sabotage these nature protection laws. Why did your group walk away from the negotiations during the week?
Well, there are major concerns regarding the proposed restoration law, even though I agree with the measures in terms of what they want to achieve. But how it's being done has caused major concern for farmers, fishers, even people involved in renewable energy right across the European Union. There hasn't been a proper socio-economic impact assessment. And while my group have walked away, I want to make it very clear that is not something I support, actually. And I think my fellow MEPs don't. We had a meeting during the week where we discussed this. It wasn't indicated that we're going to walk away, and it wasn't put to a vote. So we're not happy with walking away, because I've been involved in some energy files in the past, Recently, the energy performance of buildings file, the renewable energy file, and when you go to the negotiating table, there's usually a good spirit of compromise and you can achieve what you want to a large degree. Mm. Now, I understand the concerns, but I don't believe ever you should walk off the pitch.
Okay, but that, I'm not happy that, with it, that, and I'm that, going that to has it up happened,
at
though.
The group it, level.
Yes, the group has walked away, which means then that your input into these negotiations is nil. That you won't be able to put forward any alternative to the proposals that are there. What are your core difficulties then with this law?
There are a number of core difficulties. Number one, we have just started the new cap. The new cap has brought in a lot of new measures, eco measures, etc., which we welcome, which were explained to farmers, which go back to when Phil Hogan was Commissioner of Agriculture and are now just starting. But just as these are starting, where it removes funding for productivity for eco schemes, they're now introducing a new measure which goes further than that without any funding whatsoever being put in place on it. Secondly, the impact assessment done didn't take into consideration the socioeconomic effects, and particularly in relation to food security as a result of the Ukrainian war. And I think those aspects are very important. And I think what we were looking for is for the Commission to go and look at this, do a proper impact assessment, taking in those points into consideration, and then sit down and how we could develop it, because we are totally in favour of nature restoration.
All right. I want to put
it's very important and it must happen in time.
Okay. I want to put some of those points to Grace O'Sullivan, Green Party MEP, who's also with us. Grace O'Sullivan, you heard Sean Kelly there and the Taoiseach, Leo Varadkar, mentioned some of these points too, that if you take this law goes too far, the Taoiseach said, that it would reduce the amount of land available for food production, cause food prices to rise and potentially affect food security?
So firstly, I welcome what Sean says, that he and the other MPs in his EPP group are probably going to go for this. This is important. And the reason is funding mechanisms, we've put that into the text of the legislation so that there'd be a designated fund for the nature restoration law. The other thing is that the EPP group been putting out a lot of misinformation in terms of...
Grace O'Sullivan, sorry, your line is breaking up, so we're going to try and see if we can get you back on a better line. Sean Kelly, you're still with us. I just want to ask you about the re-wetting of bogs. That's probably one of the most controversial aspects, most talked about aspects in this new law. The Minister for Agriculture has dismissed concerns that the law goes too far. He says the government has already assured farmers that re-wetting won't be mandatory, that it can be done on state lands. Do you still have an issue with the re-wetting?
I think it's almost impossible to do what they're proposing to do confined to state lands. And if re-wetting has to occur, then it has to be explained to farmers and they have to be brought on board. They had a protest in Brussels during the week, and the heading of the protest was, "Where do farmers fit in?" A bit like the song, "What About Us?" So they haven't been engaged with properly. It hasn't been explained to them. It is now being landed upon them, and they aren't very happy. And for that reason, you saw that in the Agricultural Committee in the European Parliament, of which I'm not a member, Colin Markey is our member, it was defeated 30 votes to 16. That will indicate that at agricultural level, the farmers feel that this is being imposed on them and they haven't been consulted properly.
All right.
The whole aspect of re-wetting, etc., has to be explained, because if you re-wet land that has been drained, then obviously the food production on that land has to cease.
All right, Grace O'Sullivan is back on the line. Grace O'Sullivan, I want you to deal with that point made earlier and also by the Taoiseach, that that when you take back agricultural land and return it to nature, that you could potentially affect food security and cause food prices to rise. What do you say to that?
I firstly say that the European Commission carried out a full impact assessment on this legislation, so that the different lobby groups and that were all had an opportunity to input. The second, in terms of food prices and the 10%, this land is already, 7% of it is already set aside in buffer zones, in hedgerows, in ponds, in already we're underway in that regard. So this is not going to impact on food production. In fact, if we have ecosystems collapsing, that will be the worst thing possible in terms of food production. So that, again, for me, is a misnomer. I think the EPP group in the Parliament, they've put out so much disinformation. And it's just, it's wrong. This is, in fact, the Sean and his colleagues, they all supported a biodiversity strategy in June 2021, and they voted for that. And for me, it's just the EPP. It's real bad faith. I agree with Sean. They should never have walked away from the table. Our job as legislators is to find the amendments, the compromises that will make this work. Mm. And the other thing, just to refute one of Sean's points, it's not like this will land on the table straight away. Ireland will, as a member state, and each member state will get to write their own restoration plan so that it is meeting the needs of the farmers, of the fishermen, of fishing communities, of recognising that. So that's why the big collaboration process is already built into the legislation. There's already flexibilities in the legislation and the whole question about renewable energy. There's already measures sorting that out, you know. So, look, I really think the EPP are acting in bad faith, walking away from the table.
Sean Kelly, will you be encouraging your fellow EPP members to return to the talks table?
Yes, I never believe in walking off the pitch. And as I said, from my experience, even if you take the Energy Performance of Buildings Directive, there were huge problems in my group regarding it. They wanted to pull the plug in it like I did in this. I went and I negotiated and I got 90% of what we wanted or more. But I just want to make two points. Grace is not correct when she said they did a full impact assessment. There was no impact assessment done on the socio-economic effects of it. Our group asked for it and they didn't get it. And also the funding, there is no new funding. The funding they're talking about comes out of the CAP and cohesion funding. And because we are a net contributor to the budget, we don't get any cohesion funding. So an awful lot of it is very vague. And all we're asking for is clarity. And then I think everybody can sit around the table and agree.
All right.
Because how can anybody be against nature restoration? And you'd imagine that you'd nearly get unanimity on it if it was explained and done properly.
All right. Well,
but
I feel that Commissioner Timmermans is rushing to get it finished during this term,
it's going to be finished next year as Commissioner, and he wants to leave a legacy. Rushing anything, particularly legislation of this nature, is not a good idea. As Leo Varadkar said, it's maybe going too far, but certainly going too quickly too
far. All right. Grace O'Sullivan. Yeah. Can this law pass even if the EPP doesn't support it?
Luckily, the Renew group, of which Fianna Fáil are part of, are split on it. So it looks like there will be enough, that there will be a small margin to get it over the line.
Okay.
But the information is all there in the legislation. And I don't entirely agree with Sean on it. I think the information is there. The assessment has happened. The funding mechanisms are there in the legislation in place. So we just need to get on with this because we're losing too much time in terms of climate change, biodiversity decline.
Right.
And if we don't get leadership from the top, move forward, it'll be to our detriment.
We are also out of time on this item. Grace O'Sullivan and Sean Kelly, thank you both very much for joining us. We'll take a break. Back with more after this.